most of us know Psalm 91, and it's always a wonderful blessing. Now, I must tell you just beforehand that putting a sticker on your bumper that says protected by Psalm 91 is not going to protect you. I don't want to discourage anybody or anything, but no. You have to have it in your heart, not on your bumper not in your car's bumper. If you don't have it in your heart, it's not going to mean much. Because this is all about your heart. And you know, it's just one of those things of religion that doesn't work. It doesn't work. You know, everything that comes from the Word of God must go into our hearts. You know, if it goes anywhere else, it's not going to do what it was meant to do. It has to become a revelation on the inside of our hearts, not just head knowledge. Or a bumper sticker, you know, and say, well, there you go, and everybody sees that, you know. There's a lot of self-deception going on. We don't need to go there. But there is, this psalm talks about that secret place. And I believe that is what this is all about. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Well, where is that secret place? It's in your heart. That's where God dwells, right? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Do you know that every one of us has a secret place that only you and God know about? There's a secret place in your heart that only you and God know about. That's your spirit man. And that's where God speaks to you. That's the place of fellowship. That's the place of communion. That's the place of unity. That's the place where communication happens. That's the place where strength is poured out into our lives, is that secret place. You know, that's where we meditate on the Word of God and we begin to receive from it into our hearts. Now, we can know the Bible in our heads, but if it's not in our hearts, it's not going to help us much. That's a secret place that I believe God wants to inhabit in every heart. It's a place where we are one with Him. And you know, Jesus made a few statements. He says, my Father and I will come and we will dwell with you. And we know the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. We're a temple of the Holy Spirit. And it's all in that place deep on the inside. You know, sometimes you probably, hopefully, have experienced that God communicates something to you in that secret place. And you just find it too hard to explain to others what that is. It's that revelation that comes just by fellowshipping with Him. And now, it says that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Well, that's a good place. To abide in the shadow of the Almighty means, first of all, that's a safe place. That is a safe place. But I want to tell you that the secret place, if we abide in that secret place, it leads to a very different kind of a life. It's not just a superficial church attending kind of a life. That is a life full of the power and the wisdom of God. I believe that's the place, you know, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, He will tell you things to come. That's the place where He will tell that. And you know, one thing I have discovered about the secrets of God is He hides them in plain sight. He hides them in plain sight. And so I believe the secret place of the Most High is right inside of us. It's in our hearts. It's not a place where you can go to and say, well, that's a secret place or that's a secret. No, it's inside of you. It's inside your hearts. The secret place of the Most High. Where we meet with Him and receive from Him and communicate with Him. And I think that's a place that we, especially in the days where the secular spirit seems to take over in the churches everywhere, that's a place that we need to develop more and more, that secret place where we dwell in the shadow of the Most High. We were designed to live in communion with Almighty God. We were not designed to live separate from Him. Do you know, we read it this morning, where it spoke about the days when we were alienated from the life of God. That means it's a life without a secret place. It's a life in the flesh. But when we develop that secret place, it's a place that we visit often. So much is poured out into our lives, not only to protect us, but to enrich us, to expand us, to grow us. What a wonderful place that is. You know, as we touched a little bit on it this morning, God's goal with every one of us is that Christ be formed in us. That's the goal. That is where God wants to go with every one of us. That Christ be formed in us. When I read the Bible, I always read it with that in mind. That what I'm reading here is leading to that goal that God has with my life. Because that's where He's going. And that's where we ought to be going. To that place where we conform to the image of the Son of God. I tell you, God has such high ideals for the church. It's just a pity and a tragedy that we have become so shallow that we pursued other things and we drifted away from that secret place. And most Christians don't even know that there's a place where you can communicate with God. And that's the place where God wants to communicate with us. Verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. You know, there's a place where there comes a time in everyone's life where you have to put your trust in God. Which means there's no trust in circumstances. And there's a bit of a tug of war that goes on at times inside of us where we stand on the brink of failure. Where we have to look at all of what's going on and say to ourselves, I will put my trust in God. And I can either accept defeat, or I can say, I'll put my trust in God and I'm going to win. He's my fortress. He's my strength. He's the one that I'm looking up to. He's the one that will give me what it takes to get out of this. And you know, it's easy to say I put my trust in Him when all is well. But it really has meaning when we say that when all is not well. Say, I put my trust in Him. Everything else me seems to be against me, but I put my trust in Him. He's my fortress, which means I am safe there. I am protected there. And nothing will happen to me. I will accomplish my goals, and God will accomplish His goal with me. There's a security there. There is a confidence there in that place. Verse 3, surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. I know we always come back to the truth, because it is the truth that sets us free. It is the truth that we need to pursue. We can believe what we like, but there'll be no point in believing things and doing things that are not founded in truth. There's no point in that. Even if it's popular, even if everybody does it, even if everybody says it, if it's not the truth, it's pointless. And, you know, what is the truth? What is truth? Jesus said there in John 17, your word is the truth. Your word is truth. And so the advice of Jesus to every one of us was this: if you abide in my word, you'll be my disciples indeed. And you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And that's why it says here, even in the Old Testament, even in the Old Testament, his truth shall be your shield and buckler. And we understand that our shield, we talk in the New Testament of the shield of faith. That shield of faith is anchored in the word. Because you can only have faith in the truth. You have faith in anything else, it's futile. It's futile to put your trust and your faith in anything that's not the Word of God. And why would you want to do that? I mean, this Word is so rich. We don't have to add anything to it. We don't have to take things out of it. This is it. There's so much here, we can't even get to most of it. There is just too much. Why would we add things to it? If it's so full of the wonderful treasures of the wisdom of God. Verse 5, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. What a powerful confession of faith. That none of these things will come to me. None of them. And why can we say that with confidence? Only for one reason. I'm abiding in the secret place. Nothing can get me there. Nobody can get close to me when I am in the secret place. Nobody can get me there. Let me tell you, we have a long way to go in the church. We're getting into that place where we become so protected because we dwell in the secret place. Amen. It's there for every one of us. It's not so secret that you can't find it. It is secret because it's inside of you. But it's there for every one of us. Verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Praise God for that. You know, we hear of all these things that go around, and all we can say is, it will not come to me. It will not come to me. Even if 1,000 fall and 10,000 on this side, it will not come to me. Because I am dwelling in that secret place and I'm protected. There's a lot of man-made things we can do. But you know, there is nothing is so safe as that place where we dwell in the presence of God. God's calling us there. You know, we were called into fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're called to be one with him. We're called not to be, somebody said powerful this week, I'm not following Christianity, I'm following Jesus. You know, it can be two different things, right? It can be two very different things. It's talking about that secret place that we draw close to him. Verse 8, only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Now, there are two because's here, and we're going to look at them both. Verse 9, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. Because there's a reason. There's the reason. Can you see why it's futile to put a sticker on your car's bumper? It doesn't mean a thing in the world. I mean, the devil is not fooled by that. Nobody's fooled by that except you, maybe. There's nobody here that has that, but I don't know if it was ever popular where we came from. You know, it was everywhere. The key to all of that is to dwell in that secret place. That's the key to the whole thing. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Praise God. Nothing shall. Can you see that? I know when we talk about it, people say, well, you're a fanatic. Well, then I'm a fanatic. Then we can be fanatics. What's wrong with that? Jesus was a fanatic. Come on now. We're not here to be man pleasers. We're here to be God pleasers. And when people put labels on you, so what? So what if they put labels on you? They put labels on him too. But I tell you what, the rewards are huge. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Well, we just read this morning that in him we are more than conquerors. And these are dangerous animals. These are dangerous animals. They are symbols of some evil things that can happen to us. But you know, in that secret place, and because we made him our refuge, no evil shall come near you. No evil shall come near you. Praise God. You know, we have no reason to leave the dwelling place, the secret place. We have no reason to. It's not that you come and go and come and go. I believe God wants us to dwell there. Now, well, even if you go to work, you can still be in the secret place. It doesn't matter where you are, what you do. You can still be in the secret place. You know, we don't have to leave the secret place. Secret place goes where we go. And we are protected wherever we go. We're in that secret place. It says, no evil shall befall you. That's a strong statement. That's a strong statement. Verse 14, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With a long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. What a rich reward of going after that secret place. You know, when we go over into the New Testament and we begin to see words like mystery, there's a lot of mysteries, hidden things. But I find that as we study the word, we find more and more of them. And they've always been there, but they were hidden. We didn't see them. There's a lot of those. You know, sometimes you can read and say, my goodness, I never saw that. I've never seen this. And discover the wonderful treasures that we have in the Word of God. Mysteries, hidden things. That's why the Apostle Paul encourages us in the book of Ephesians, in that prayer that he prayed, and several prayers actually in that book, for spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened. Then in Colossians, I believe, it talks about spiritual understanding. It's that place where God takes the covers off things so that we can see what we have. That wonderful passage there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where it talks about these things there. And here in this translation that I use, it talks about the things of God. The things of God. And these are things that I keep on meditating on. What are the things of God? What are they? I'm after them. And we discover them here and there, but there's a depth there that we still need to fathom. It says there in verse 9, but as it is written, eye is not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Do you know that God has set some things aside for you that nobody's thought about or was ever spoken, nobody's heard? Can you imagine what God has? When he says, I have thoughts of purpose and of blessing and of prosperity for you and well-being, that's big. Yeah, we quote that verse and we move on. Let me tell you, we need to stand still, and there are some big things out there that God wants to accomplish through those who love him. He says, what eye has not seen and nor ear heard, nor come up in the heart of man. And isn't it strange that we always think, well, that was never done before. I don't think I can do this or I can do that, because that's never been done before. And that's exactly what God wants to do. Take us into some new things. It's not always same old, same old. God is so original, I tell you, he can do a brand new thing. I believe he's just waiting on a people that will set their love upon him so that he can bring those things to pass through his people that love him. Verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. So there's a revelation that comes of things not seen or heard or thought of, things that will be revealed or are revealed to us by the Spirit of God. And then he even says here, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. This is where my mind says, that is as far as I can go. It's too deep. But that's where I believe, in the secret place, things open up for us. We can make some wonderful discoveries. No wonder the Apostle John says, don't love the world or the things of the world. Don't love those things. How can you compare the best of the world with the least of what you can find in God? How can you even begin to compare that? There's such a wealth. There's such a rich heritage that we have in him. I believe God wants to, he wants to raise up for himself a people that are so filled with his Spirit, so filled with his presence, that are so filled with himself that he can touch the world through them. Are we going too deep here tonight? Verse 11, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Can you see the deep place there? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Hey. I'll be honest with you. I believe God is not looking for the numbers. Yes, of course, God wants everybody to come in. How many are we now? 7 billion? All 7 billion to come in. But He's not looking for us to gather large numbers. God is looking for deep people. He's looking for deep people. He's looking for deep people. That is what He's looking for. Because with one deep person, God can do more than He can do with a crowd. One deep person that dwells in a secret place. God can do more than He can with crowds of people. He's looking for deep people. God is looking for deep people. Verse 13. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. These are spiritual things. These are spiritual things. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I'm sharing this with you because we are planning to start up the school again. And the reason for the school is not to put a whole lot of knowledge into the heads of people. The purpose of the school is to equip deep people. I'll be honest with you. We're not looking for crowds. We're looking for deep people. We're looking for deep people. I think everybody's tired of shallow Christianity. Everybody's tired of religious programs. You can run me down the street with a church program. I'm telling you, I'm tired. I've been there. I've done that. I'm tired of church programs. But there's a yearning for the deep things of God. Colossians 1 and verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Well, that's the prayer that we pray for the church. That we may be filled with the knowledge of His will. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Come on, these are lofty goals. This is not just a church that has a lot of programs. This is a church that filled with God Himself. Verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. You and I read the Bible about the church. And I look at what we have in the world today known as a church. There are two different things. They're two different things. They're two very different things. I sometimes wonder if you can even compare the church that we know to the church that we find in Scripture. God help us, you know, with what we did to the church, with the church. When I read there in Ephesians chapter 5 where It talks about the relationship with Christ and the church. And he's preparing his bride. I think the church is something very, very, very special in the eyes of God. And precious. And should be treated as such. I think the bride has a yearning for the groom. Right? And I wonder sometimes where that yearning is. Now we're getting too tough, right? I look at the church and I wonder where that yearning is for the groom, the bridegroom. Where's that longing? I read through the book of Revelation and it says there, yes, come, Lord, come. There's a yearning there. That is the yearning that we find in the secret place. That meeting there, the more we know him, the more we want to know him. The Apostle Paul, with all these wonderful revelations and insight in the deep things of God, he writes there in Philippians chapter 3, he says that I may know him. And I think, Paul, I thought you knew him. Look at what you did. Yet inside of him, there's that prayer that I may know him. God's looking for deep people. Let's do one more. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. I begin to see a glimpse of the secret place there. Because we read similar things there in Psalm 91. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That sounds a lot like dwelling in the shadow of the Almighty. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Well, this is another place where my brain says, that is as far as I go. That is as far as I can go. How can you know something that passes knowledge? It's revelation in your heart. It's not something that our brain can understand. It's a revelation in the heart of man. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What do you think of that? That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Well, that sounds a lot more than just going to church on a Sunday. That's a different life. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works where? In us. I'm looking for the day when we begin to do things that are exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. When is the church going to rise up to that? And it's there. To him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. God raise up the New Testament church again. May the church become all that God had in mind when He planted the church. Not just a religious institution with a whole bunch of programs and things that will make the outward appearance look good, but we may be filled with the fullness of Him, with all knowledge and spiritual understanding. I believe, you may differ from me if you want to, that's free, but I believe when we have spiritual understanding, there won't be a problem that we cannot solve. There will not be a problem that we will not know the solution to. Spiritual understanding. I've come to the conclusion that all the needs and things that we pray for and struggle with can be summed up in one need: spiritual understanding. If we have spiritual understanding, if we have that understanding that comes from the heart of God, we'll be a victorious church. It'll be a victorious church. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, there's much, much more than giving us a free ticket to heaven. Much more. You know, and I have Christians that come and tell me, well, I want to live a balanced life. I need to stand with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God. And that's a balanced life. No, that is a life that's not given to God. I had people tell me that we're too fanatic, that we're extreme. Well, if you want to do things that are exceedingly abundantly above all, you can ask or think, that is extreme. That is extreme. And I believe a balanced life is one that has both feet on the same foundation. Then you're balanced. God is looking for deep people. He's looking for deep people. He's looking for people that He can entrust His treasures to. He's looking for people that He can trust with His power. He's looking for people that He can trust with His revelations. He's looking for people that are a people of faith in Him, that can face a controversy and win. He's looking for a people that can stand in a day of trouble and overcome because they say, I put my trust in Him. I know things all around me are falling, but I put my trust in the Almighty and I will conquer. He's looking for people like that. And so when we talk about starting up the Word School again, that's the reason. That's the reason. I tell you, we're going to press on that. This time around, it's not about a piece of paper at the end of the studies. That's about a life that's given to God. I will make sure. We'll make sure that people who come through the school will step out and be fruitful. And not just go around and say, well, you know, I went through that. That piece of paper is not worth what is printed on it. Knowledge makes us responsible. Knowledge makes us responsible. And there are some things that we know that we need to do. And boy, we live in an exciting day. We live in a day that is exciting, where we can do great exploits of God. That's what God spoke to Daniel. He said, those who know their God will do great exploits. Praise God. He can pick up a fallen man and use him mightily. God can pick up somebody that everybody despised and looked down on and make him a person that will bring hope to the world. A person that thinks nothing of himself, God can use and raise him up and use him mightily in His kingdom. Because the Word of God changes a person. We cannot please man and God. You can only please either man or God. And I think it's time for the church to rise up and say, we are here to please God. We are not here to please man. We're not here to be accepted by everybody. We're not here to be applauded by everybody. We're not here to be liked by everybody. We're here to please God. And that may be a little rough, but that's okay. We'll go through that. If we dwell in the secret place, we'll make it. We'll make it. We have great confidence in the Word of God. It's a deep treasure with wonderful, wonderful riches that God can raise us up if we are willing to be changed by the Word of God. We can accomplish things that we never dreamed of. And that's the goal. That is the goal, to see the change come in the hearts of people and in their lives. Shallow people will not make it. It will not make it. They will not make it. But we're looking for deep people. And we believe God's going to raise up for himself a people that will be useful to himself. A fruit-bearing people. A people that know their God. A people that are willing to pay the price. You know, we're not willing to pay a price, things become cheap. Doesn't cost you anything. But if we're willing to pay a price, then we're going to hit those deep places. May God stir up that hunger inside of us. May God stir up that yearning inside of us to be all that God wants us to be. And that's big. It's much bigger than you think. It's much bigger than people think of you. It's much deeper than that. We're going to go after it. And I just pray that we come with hearts that are ready, flexible, willing to change, willing to pay the price. That's what I'm praying for. And that's what we'll be looking for. And may the Holy Spirit prepare our hearts for a brand new experience with him. Amen. Let's all stand. Father, we bless you. Lord, we are ready to walk with you. Like those two men on the road to Emmaus, Lord, we want to say, were our hearts not burning inside of us? When he brought the word to us, when he explained the word to us, our hearts were burning inside of us. Father, I pray that the word of God will be like fire in our bones. That will set our hearts on fire for you. And change us from the inside out. Touch our hearts. Touch our lives. Touch our minds, Lord, that we will think your thoughts. We will not look for acceptance and recognition and all of that, but we'll be looking to please you fully with our lives and bear fruit to your glory. That may that be the goal of our lives, Lord, to please you in all things. We will not look around for recognition. We will not look around for acceptance. We will look up to you and say, Father, I'm here to please you. I'm here to do your will. And may your name be glorified in every one of us. Stir up that hunger inside of us. Send us the hungry ones, Lord. Send us the deep ones. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.